Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I am very excited about this episode because it's one that I've been anticipating for a little bit. We talked a little bit about it before she went on her trip, that when she comes back, she's going to have to come on the podcast and share all about it. So welcome to the show, Alyssa Miyake. Welcome back, Alyssa.
Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to be here and to share a little bit about my trip to Brazil.
Yeah, I'm super excited. You know, she shared a little bit in service before she went, and I was like, oh, when you come back, you have to come on and share, because I'm sure that the Lord is going to be doing a lot. And I'm excited. I haven't heard barely anything about this trip, so I'm personally just excited just to hear some of the stories. But before we get to her Brazil trip, I'm actually excited about something else that Alyssa is doing. For the summertime, she and Sydney Lee have together started a youth girls Bible study. And the first time I found out about it was she sent me a text that said, hey, you know, we want Karis to come out to girls summer Bible study. It's like, wow, that's really cool that this is being offered now. It's something that's fresh and new. And it's actually really cool because after the girls did their first one, then the boys said, hey, we need to do this too. So now the boys' youth have started their own Bible study. So now we have both a boys' and a girls' summer Bible study. And it all just started because Alyssa and Sydney got together and said, hey, we need to do this. So Alyssa, can you share a little bit about your heart behind the Bible study, why you wanted to get it started, and just how it's going so far? It's been a couple of weeks that you guys have been doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the heart behind Sydney and I wanting to start this girls' Bible study was we found like the importance of having small group, just us being in college. I lead a discipleship group at school at APU. And I think that was so foundational in like me meeting other people outside of my major. And I think that it's just like such a special time to meet other people and to gain knowledge about the word in a smaller group setting. And similar for Sydney, too, like she also was a part of small groups in college and also just like growing up, like going to Valley and just being a magnetic. And I think we realized that a lot of the magnetic girls or just like magnetic youth in general haven't been a part of a youth group outside of a Sunday morning. But we wanted to create a space that was going to be consistent and just to foster sisterhood and just have this extension of magnetic, creating like a safe environment for them to be vulnerable and to be open and to talk about all the things about their life and what they're willing to share. And so the book that we're going through is Ephesians. So we actually got into the word this past week, and it was really special just to be able to share a little bit, read a little bit of the passage, and then discuss it. And I think like the conversation was really cool, just hearing the hearts of each girl and just their wisdom. I'm like, yeah, they're just so wise. And I've been 3 years graduated out of magnetic. So just to be able to enter back into the space, I'm like, yeah, like this is something that has been so important, so foundational to my faith was this group. And to be able to pour back into it has been really awesome.
Yeah, I know when you texted me and I talked to Karis a little bit about it, she's not available on the night that you guys are having it. So she's not able to go until next month. So she's really looking forward to when she's able to go. But yeah, she was a little bummed that it wasn't on that night. But one of the cool things that you guys are talking about is that you have your G's. it's kind of cool. You know, at our church, we like alliteration. We like it when things all, you know, start with the same letter. So you were talking to me a little bit as we were prepping that you guys have these G's. So can you share a little bit about what that's all about and how you came to that as part of your, you know, discussions with the girls?
Absolutely. So Sydney came up with this. It's called our 4 G's. So it's a way to check in with the girls. It's a good, garbage, God, and guy. And we have the girls like pick like a good, a garbage, or a guy moment and plus their God, just so that we can check in to see how they're doing throughout their week. It's like our version of like high, low, buffalo. And it's just a little fun spin, a little laughter, but also just to see and check in with their hearts too.
Yeah, I think that's really good that you guys are able to just connect hearts with the girls too, just to see so that they can see, you know, what it looks like as they're growing and maturing to continue in their faith after high school. Because I know that sometimes that's hard, you know, coming from different church backgrounds, you know, different churches. It's like a lot of times they have their, you know, for us, it's magnetic, or for other churches, their youth group. And then when they get to college, it's like, okay, that's gone. So now what? Right. So I think this is really good for you guys to be able to show them like there is faith, there is spirituality, there is a relationship with the Lord that comes after the group is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been so important, especially I'm so thankful for my relationship with Sydney, because I think that our foundation was built so strong and magnetic. And even though we went to school like in two different states, like it really just goes to show that intentionality is so much more important than proximity, and how we continue to like foster and grow together. And even now, like she's back, which shout out to her because I'm so happy that she is. But I get to see her like 3 times a week, which is really cool because we have like our girls Bible study that we're leading together, then the young adult Bible study the next day, and then we see her on, each other on Sundays. So it's just really special to see each other more than 1 time a week.
Yeah, that's awesome that you guys are really just modeling what faith looks like to these girls as they're growing up, and they have good role models. So just thank you for what you're doing. And, you know, if for all of our listeners out there that aren't aware, it's like the summer is always packed for the youth, right? They have Bible study on Tuesdays, this past Monday and next Monday, they're doing a guys and girls night appreciation thing, and then First Friday. So it's like, man, the summers are packed for the youth. Well, okay, so now I think it's time for us. I'm really excited to hear about your trip. So I'm just going to be a fly on the wall right now. So I might ask you a few questions here and there, but I'm just going to leave the mic open for you, Alyssa. But why don't we get started with, you know, what originally drew you to Brazil, and where was the Lord leading you to, you know, just take the step of faith and going on the trip?
Absolutely. So APU has a service requirement, and part of a way to fulfill that service requirement is going on different missions trips. So this year we sent out 14 summer teams, and the duration.
Wow, 14 teams?
Yeah.
Wow.
So all across the world, we sent out 14 teams, and the duration of each mission trip could be anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. Mm. And I knew that I've always wanted to go on an APU mission trip. It was just a matter of when. And I think that the Lord really confirmed that for this summer to go now. And I think that Brazil wasn't necessarily like a place where I was like, yes, like that's the place, but it was more so the leaders. Mm-hmm. Once I heard like who my leaders were, they both lead chapel band at our school, and now they're graduating out. But I think that just like the impact in the small interactions I've had with them, they like, it was really great. And it led me to be like, yeah, like I want to learn more from them. I really want to be led by them. And so what that revealed to me was just the importance of leadership, and just like how these small interactions can really make a big difference in someone's yes. And I didn't really need a lot of convincing to say yes to them and to their team. But I think just after going to Brazil and being led by them, I was like, well, like it's so cool like how the Lord uses each of our strengths and like combines them all together. Just to be super like united, but also like super explosive too.
Yeah, I think it's cool hearing you talking about the leadership, and already even before you left to see these leaders and say, okay, I want to come under them. I feel like they can show me a lot, or I can learn a lot from them. Just the impact of like when you are able to submit to leadership, just how much you can receive when you're able to do that.
Yeah, I think it was just really cool. Like, I think it's also awesome because they both lead so well, and like I've seen their leadership like in their own majors, but also like on the stage in chapel band, and they have beautiful voices. And so we would break out a lot in worship circles just randomly. Like someone would just grab a guitar and we'd sing in English, and then sometimes people would chime in Portuguese. Just like how special those moments are. I'm like, oh, I wish I could just go back and do that again with the same exact group. But I think that's been really cool just to reflect on these moments being back for a month. So just like a brief overview of like what we did on our trip. We focused a lot on sports ministry and also children's ministry. So the basic structure of our day was we would have breakfast with our host families, and then we would go to the church before we disperse for the day. And we would either go to a school, or we would go to like another setting to minister to the different kids. And the kids that we were ministering to were anywhere from like preschool age all the way up to teenagers. And we would have like a younger group in the morning and an older group in the afternoon. And we teach them different English games. So what we did was, like, for example, we play this game with different water bottles scattered across the ground. And the student would be blindfolded. So we would give them directions in English. So left, right, backwards, forwards. Or we'd also play this other game called, like, head, shoulders, knees, toes, cone. And it'd just be, like, different variations of, like, shuffling, like, oh, shoulders, toes, whatever, until they grab the cone. And then in the afternoon, we repeat the same games just with a different group. And then in the evening time, we would either do like an English class or we would do like a worship night. So it kind of just varied, but like the structure of each day was pretty packed of just doing like three events every single day.
Okay, so you'd mentioned that you ate breakfast with your host family. So you guys were able to have homestays?
Yes, that's right. So there was about two or three of us that stayed with members of the church. And it was really cool because I stayed at the allergy house. I have an allergy, guys. which is kind of funny because like growing up, you know, like at the kindergarten table, you always had to be separated. But I think it ended up being really sweet. We stayed with one of the translators as well. So it was able, we were able to like build that bridge of communication. Cause I think that was a concern that I had too. I was like, I don't know how to speak Portuguese. Like I know Spanish, but that's not the language here. And so I think just being able to build that bridge and using like Google Translate a lot to communicate, like what a blessing it is to have that. And I think that that also built a bridge with like the kids that we were ministering to as well. Because they knew exactly like how to use Google Translate, and they're like, "Okay, like, can I have your phone?" Or like the little words of English that they did know. Yeah, so the homestays is really, really cool. I think that our missionaries Jamie and Jordan said that that experience is a lot different than staying in hotels, and I would agree for sure. Like, we are able to be more in touch with the community in Brazil and in Pionka, which is specifically the city that we were staying in, and we saw them every single day. Like we would come home to them, like, and they were like so, so sweet, especially like our host family. Like they gave us a rose and we like they wrote a sign on the door for us and made us a cake, which I thought was so cute. Like when we first came in, which was super late at night, but just like the sweetness and just how much sacrifice that they have and to be such active members of the church. Like they truly like members of the church see each other like multiple times a day. And it's really beautiful to see like Catalyst is living that out too.
Yeah, homestay experience is so much different than, you know, some mission trips, everybody stays like in a missionary house or, you know, where your whole team is all together, or sometimes they stay in a hotel or just different things. But when you actually get a chance to stay in people's houses and you get to be a part of their life and see what their day is like and things like that, it just gives you a different experience and a connection with the community and the people that you're ministering to that, yeah, it's just very unique. So I'm really glad that you got an opportunity to experience that, because it's very different than, you know, some trips where you're at a community center or you're just with your team the whole time except when you're doing ministry, and you get to really, you know, strengthen and build your heart for the people that you're ministering to. I think that's so cool.
Absolutely. And just being able to build a relationship with the kids that we were staying with too. I was like, oh, like at first I was a little like uncertain of how that was gonna go about, but ended up being like super, super sweet. Like one of the young boys, like he was a grandson, he's 7 years old, and he would just like be so excited to share with us about the tornadoes that he learned about, or just like have Google Translate up and he'll show us different videos. Or the youngest grandson, he's 2, and at first he was like super shy, but then he would like knock on our door and tell us like, oh, it's time to eat breakfast, or like, oh, let's play. And so just like, even though like communication is like so important to like understanding and knowing each other, I think also that you can really get to know someone just through your actions and just playing. Like I think it can be that simple, especially for like kids.
So for the different events that were organized for you guys, you know, you'd mentioned like days were semi-similar each day. How receptive were the kids to you guys? You know, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I think the kids were pretty receptive. Like, they just wanted to play and have fun, especially, like, when we played soccer. Like, I've never played a day of soccer in my life. I played basketball, guys. Like, that was just, like, such a humbling experience. But it was really helpful that a lot, like, half of our team, like, APU team, like, played soccer at one point. And so they were able to connect. And, like, they were, again, those kids were just so excited to be able to talk to other people outside of, like, their city. And I think that we obviously look very different compared to them. And the city is very, very small. It's very rural. And so word gets around fast that there's like Americans around. And yeah, they just wanted to like get to know us and like speak English to us. And just to see this eagerness, I was like, whoa, like this posture of like humility, I think really is like a theme that was highlighted. Yeah, they were like so unafraid just to like come up to us and like speak to us and just play with us, which I think was really sweet, especially like the little ones. I think that they were a little bit more receptive.
Yeah. In the times that I've gone on missions, I think one of the things that's interesting is just, when you when they know that there's a team coming from the United States, it's kind of like a draw. It's like, oh, I want to go see what these people are like, especially in places that are more rural or, you know, just a little bit less economic and privileged, because, right, they don't get an opportunity to come to us, right? So it's like to see us come to them, it's like, it's just different. And so it's like, oh, what, there's something new, something fresh. I want to go check that out. And so for you guys, were you guys able to have opportunities to share the gospel with kids or anything like that?
Yeah, so pretty much at every single school that we went to or any team that we played with for like soccer or handball, we were able to give a devotional. So every team member pretty much gave a devotional at one point or another. And it was just like a really good opportunity just for us to like practice, like, how do I even make a devotional? How do I adapt it to the different audiences that we're speaking to too? Since it was like a wide range of students that we're speaking to, or even adults as well. And so something that was so interesting that someone from APU, she's like the mobilization coordinator who sends out the different mission trips through our school. She pointed out that a lot of them have like establishing faith already. Mm. So I thought that was really interesting, because I think that oftentimes we view mission trips as like, oh, like these people don't know who the Lord is or like who Jesus is. But it's really cool that we are just here to like continue the momentum and to aid like the current like missionaries there who are super, super cool. They've been there for 5 years. Jamie and Jordan have been there for 5 years with their two kids. And I think that it was just sweet to be able to like get to know them a lot better too. And they're only like a stage of life ahead of us. Like they have kids, they're married, and well, maybe two stages ahead of us. But they just like truly felt like older sister, older brother energy, which was something consistent I heard throughout all of our team members as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good strategy when we think about missions, is to partner with the people that are there long-term, because sometimes it's like you go to on a missions trip, you're only there for a few weeks. It's like, really, how much impact can you make just as an individual? But when you're able to partner with the missionaries that are there, the people that are there for a long term, then you're able to really, you know, work with them, enhance what they're doing, and, you know, draw more people to them and to start a relationship with them too. So I think that's a good strategy that you guys were using. So, you know, you'd share that you all got a chance to lead a devotional.
Yeah.
Like when you were told like, okay, Alyssa, you're doing tomorrow. I don't know if that's how they did it, or if it was like kind of planned out beforehand, but you know, were they like, okay, Alyssa, you're tomorrow, and you know, this is the age group that we're going to be speaking, so make sure that you know, tailor your devotional to that age group? Or kind of how did that work? What was the process like for creating the devotionals for the kids?
Yeah, so it was very like free for all, which like for me as a gal that loves structure, I was like, this is too much freedom. But everyone would just sign up if they were like, okay, like who wants to do the devotional tomorrow, or like we'll set a text in our group chat. And I was like, okay. And so we kind of had a gauge of like the age group that we were speaking to, and it was just like, yeah, like a devotional could be very short, it could be very long. And it's like a similar mindset of like what a testimony was for them. It's just like, it doesn't need to be like how you came to Christ, but it can really be, how is the Lord working in your life right now, or like in the past or whatever. And so because there was so much liberty in that, I was like, okay, like to really be in tune with the Holy Spirit of, okay, God, like what do you want me to share now? Like what's important for these kids to know now? And I think that theme of like, again, like discernment has been coming up a lot, like consistently throughout my life, but especially on the mission trip field of, okay, God, like what are you saying to me now, and also like how do you want to use me now? And just to be like super in tune with that, and just being earnest of listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying and like going, and even if it's scary, even if it's hard, even if it's uncomfortable, but like to really just say yes and to be pushed and to be okay with that.
You mind sharing what your devotional that you led was?
Yeah, so I talked to a group of like older adults. I spoke at like a young adult night, and I just talked about like how like worthy each of these people were, each of these adults were, because I think that was something like the theme of identity, and just knowing like the background of a lot of these individuals, like. The area that we were in, or maybe just like Brazil as a whole, really struggles with like prostitution or like alcoholism or drugs. And so they just come from like a lot of broken families where like mom and dad are not in the picture, or it's just one parent, or like grandma and grandpa are taking care of me. And so just to be able to see like, wow, like I think that it was like like a culture shock for me too, because like, you know, both of my parents are around and, you know, I have like a very loving family and like so graciously so. And so I think that it can be really hard to see like God's goodness through that, through the brokenness, and really just wanted to highlight like, yeah, like you are so worthy and like you are enough and you are so important and so needed. And yeah, just like hitting that home for them.
Do you feel like they were able to receive that? Because I know sometimes it's really hard to receive that message when your circumstances are
right.
the opposite, right? So mm-hmm. how do you feel like they were able to receive that message?
I was unsure at first because I was like, okay, well, it was kind of short. And I was like, I thought I was to the point. And so then, but it was really sweet because one of the teenagers, he came up to me afterwards and he kind of just shared a little bit about his story. And he was like, yeah, like I thought what you said was really impactful. Mm. And like that meant a lot. And I was like, wow, like really, like if what I said just impacted one person, like that means more than anything mm-hmm. else. And as long as it reached the one, and just I wanted to be used like in the way that the Lord wanted me to be used. And if it impacted him, like that was really, really cool just to like hear back from that too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good kind of instant feedback.
Yeah.
Because I know it's really easy sometimes when you give a message or you give a devotional or you lead something to be like, oh, you know, how did they receive that? Should I have changed this? Should I have said something different? So to hear that, I think that's, I'm thankful that he came up to you and said that.
Me too.
just to give the affirmation, because, you know, I do feel like it's cool to see you as you've grown up, just to be able to step into some of these leadership roles. And,
yeah.
you know, I remember when you were a little kid, and it's like, you're really quiet and stuff. It's like, wow, Alyssa, you've really, you know, matured and grown into, you know, this wonderful woman of God who's stepping into leadership and, you know, making an impact on my kids, you know? And so it's really cool to see that. And, so I, you know, I just want to affirm you as well.
Thank
just
you.
in the ways that you're stepping into these things. Cause you know, it's a real blessing to see. Okay. So are there any other things that you feel like really the Lord highlighted to you? Like, what are some highlights of the trip? You know, you kind of shared a little bit about, just kind of the structure of the day, but like
yeah.
share some of the highlights. I think yeah. people want to hear some of the amazing things that the Lord did while you were there.
For sure. I think God is like such a redeemer. And there was a point in the trip where I think everyone was just like physically like going through it. Mm. A lot of like dehydration. We had to send a couple people to the clinic because they were so dehydrated. So I think physically like all these challenges, like we weren't used to the heat. We weren't used to the humidity. And like, despite all those things, like how the Lord can really use those things and just to like speak through that. Mm. And so there was one afternoon where we were literally down to like half of our team. And I was like, oh shoot, like, what are we going to do? Like, we have no leaders. Like one leader, like had to go to, like, wasn't feeling good. And the other leader was dealing with like another member. And I was like, okay, like, what are we going to do? And obviously we still like have this schedule to like speak to these kids, to do this devotional, to lead all these different games. And so we were kind of just like talking amongst ourselves, like the people that were still there, like from our APU team. And we're like, okay guys, like we have a translator, like let's do the devotional, like let's get started. Like it's okay. Like we don't have like Leah and Cesar, like our two leaders, mm-hmm. but let's just take initiation and lead. And so it was really cool just to be able to do that. And I think like physically too, like I felt like really dehydrated, like my head was really hurting. Like, I wasn't feeling good, but God was like, no, like you need to stay. And I was like, okay, like this is hard, you know, it's really uncomfortable, but like, how do I still like allow like the Holy Spirit to work and be my strength? And I think like, it was like such a sweet experience because I encountered these two little girls who were just like so excited to meet us. And something as simple as like I was painting their nails, and they didn't speak much English, but they were like pointing like, okay, this is the color that I want, these are the designs that I want. Mm-hmm. And we were just like talking through Google Translate, and this little girl, her name is Priscilla, like she's so, so sweet. And she was like, oh, can I share about my culture to you? And so she was just like, yeah, like in June we have square dancing and all these different events. But I think that just like her sweetness and her innocence of, oh, like let me pursue you. I think it really, really touched my heart. And just like she was so thankful, like literally like a 10-minute interaction, like I thought, or I feel like could be so minimal, but it was so impactful to her. And she was only there at the school called Mission Agape, like that's how it's translated in English, for a week. And so just like I wouldn't, if we would have come at any other point in the summer, like, I wouldn't have met her. But just as much as she made an impact on my life, like, I made an impact on hers. And it was just so, so sweet. Like, I think about her often, of how she's just such an innocent girl, of, like, she's just trying to, like, do her best, you know, and, like, make impact and, like, make friends. And, yeah, I think that was, like, something that was really, really cool to experience. Just, like, oh, like, I felt, like, despite, like, my physical challenges, that I really felt, like, the Holy Spirit being used as my strength through that. And, yeah, just, like, consistently throughout the trip, I think that we all kind of started dropping as flies, like, the APU team. So I was just like, okay, God, like, I don't think any other team has ever experienced, like, this amount of people being sick, but it's okay. Like, I know that you're still good, and I know that, like, you could still work through this, and we're all just on medicine and just trying to get through it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's cool for you to recognize the ways that if you had said no, like, oh, I'm not feeling good, I'm not, you would have missed out on the opportunity to meet her and to have that experience with her. I think that's really cool, just to be able to reflect on that and say, like, wow, Lord, thank you for this experience that I almost didn't have if I would have dropped out. But
thank you
for kind of affirming me to keep at it, persevere, and go through.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, and I think just, like, because, like, a mission trip is, well, especially because it was only 2 weeks that I was gone, it's like, oh, okay, like, I want to be used to the max.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, Lord, like, I want to be obedient to that. And I think that's, like, my mindset to a lot of, like, retreat settings, especially, like, learning this in Magnetic, of, like, I'm only going to be in these moments, like, with these people and with this theme or with this whatever now. And so I want, like, no matter how physically tired I am, like, it's so worth it for the people and so worth it for the relationships. And yeah, we had very long days, but, like, me and my roommate, like, we would just stay up and we would debrief about our day. Mm-hmm. And, like, we'd started off just, like, in the beginning of the week, just journaling. And they were like, no, like, let's talk about it instead. So it just kind of reminds me of, like, again, like, being a part of Magnetic. And, like, Cindy and I would stay up a lot in retreats, and we just, like, talk about the night or, like, whatever, and just to be able to, like, process. So I think that even though we had, like, a whole debrief after we came back from Brazil, like, with our whole team and with somebody from APU, it was really helpful to process as we went. Yeah, and something else special that we really did was being able to worship in Portuguese. Like, even though I had no idea what they were saying, like, there's this one song called Sublime, and being able to, like, listen to the lyrics of talking about, like, oh, like, how marvelous, how glorious, how admirable the Lord is, like, just to be in such awe and wonder, I think that was, like, super, super cool. Just to see the way that the Brazilian people really just, like, love the Lord. They, like, do it so wholeheartedly and, like, with, like, no, like, they don't need that warm-up song. They, like, immediately, like, are just so into it with the Lord. And there's a couple songs that we sang in English that they also knew in Portuguese. So it was, like, Holy Forever, Goodness of God, and Yeshua. And so we had a farewell party, like, the last night that we were in Pianco. And so the three people that speak on chapel band or sing on chapel band, they led the song. And, you know, we're singing, like, different songs for them. But then our missionaries, Jordan and Jamie, they know English and Portuguese. And so they knew the English songs that we were singing too. But then as soon as we played Yeshua, like, everyone, like, stood to their feet. And it was so, like, loud, and it was so beautiful just to see everyone, like, raising their hands and so, like, earnestly praising the Lord with their whole heart. And I think, like, dang, like, that's such a special experience of how so, like, into it they were and how, like, right away, like, they're like, oh, this is the Lord. Like, let me lock in. And this is someone that I want to praise and bring glory to.
Yeah, as you were sharing the last couple stories, it really, the thing that keeps coming to mind is just being present, like being fully present. And this term that Mimo has been talking about with me is called inhabiting time, right? Because I think a lot of times in our society, in our culture, it's like we're always thinking about, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like feeling things that we felt for years and years and years, or, you know, our mind isn't fully present in the moment. But, you know, kind of your stories that you've been sharing a little bit, it's like No, there's something unique and special about when you're able to just be fully present in the moment right now and having some of those conversations where you're just there and it's like time's flying, but you're not thinking about what's next, or you're not thinking about how tired you are. You're not, you know, or like even with when you'd mention about like the warm-up song, it's like, why do we need the warm-up song? It's because our mind is somewhere else and we need that time to refocus and recenter so that we can be present and then we're able to really engage, right? But it's cool to see how, you know, your experience there, it's like, oh no, once the music started playing, they're in, right? But it's just this culture of like being present, right? Yeah. And I think that's something that, you know, it might be easier in Brazil where it's the culture's a little bit different, but for us, it's something that we could take away as well. It's just like, no, I think the Lord wants us to be present wherever we're at, whether it's, you know, we're sitting here talking on the podcast or, you know, we're sitting at home having dinner with each other, or, you know, we're at work in a meeting, or just different things that we're doing each day. It's just to be fully present in that moment that we're in, because that's where the Lord is. He's here right now. And it's not like, oh, I have to wait until I'm done with all these things and then I can meet the Lord. But he's here right now. Right. So what does it look like for us to be fully present in the moment and experience each other and then experience the Lord all at the same time?
Yeah, I think that was like a common theme too, was just the contrast of how time is viewed in Brazil. Like, I think that American culture is very fixated on being efficient and being productive. And I was like, oh my gosh, like there'd be moments where we'd be late hypothetically. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to eat me alive. Like, we're literally 10 minutes late and we can't be late and we can't be late. But no, like, they're so chill about it. They're like, no, 10 minutes, like, that's fine. Or like a lot of times, like our host family would just be waiting for us because we would like have our meetings at, like, as an APU group. But they were just like so patient and they were so okay with waiting. And I think coming,
maybe they're not okay. Maybe they're just used to it. Right? It's like, yeah, there's some cultures where it's like, you know, different cultures. It's like, I'm not singling out certain cultures, but, you know, I've heard Hawaiian time, I've heard Filipino time, I've heard, you know, so like there's other cultures that are just very different and their view of time is very different than ours. And so, when we step into those cultures, it's like there's tension inside of us, but there's not tension inside of them because that's just normal.
Right. So I think I fought myself in that a lot too, because me and my roommate, we would talk about it. We're like, oh my gosh, we're supposed to be there at 7:15. Like, it is 7:30. Like, come on, we gotta go, you know? So I think that like coming back to America and viewing time is very different. And part of our debrief was very long, guys. It was like literally 12 hours, okay? Craziest debrief of my life. But it was so good. Like, we ended our time talking about, like, what is one habit you want to start and one habit you want to leave behind. And so something that I shared and someone else on the team also shared was their view of time. And one way we wanted to be more present was just, like, literally not having our phones on the table. Like, whenever we're hanging out with people, just, like, put it away. Like, so simple, but I think, like, it's so easy. Like, when my phone is out, I can grab for it. I'm like, oh, I just need to see it. No, you don't, girl. Like, you can wait. You can wait. And I think that what I wanted to start was doing that, but also like leave behind was like not leaving enough time in between things. Because I think that like I fall guilty of like rushing from thing to thing. I just like to be busy. If I'm being honest, I love being busy. And so like, how do I leave enough time to pause and also just to take advantage of like being present? Because I think like when I'm running from thing to thing, like, there's like a 10 minute period where I'm like responding to text messages and then I'm like, okay, then I can lock into like what I'm doing now. And so like, okay, but like if I just leave extra time like in between things, then I wouldn't have to like have that warm up, if you will, or like that cool down from the previous hangout or whatever it was. Yeah. So I think just like time, I'm like, oh, like I think we start that so young, like that culture of time. So I work with students. I work at a summer day camp program and I'm a camp counselor. Been doing it for a very long time. And so I think just the observation of like, oh, like what do we tell kids like when there's one kid left and everyone else is lining up? We tell them to hurry up. Or we tell them like, oh, like your time is running out, like you have 5 minutes left or whatever. But I'm like, wow, like that culture like is implemented so young as like when they start school, and that will like continue throughout their whole life.
I mean, even before that, you know, like I mean, I know that I'm guilty of that too. It's like, you know, kids are young and it's like, we got to get somewhere. And, you know, like you said, a lot of in America, time makes a big difference. It's like for being late isn't as cool as it is in other places, right? So it's like, even if they're 2 years old and they're dilly-dallying and it's like, no, we got to go. We're like, we're late. We got to go. We got to go, right? So it's even before they get to school that it's, you know, it's just not in the formal setting, but it's more, you know, in the household even. It's like, that's just how our culture is. It's like, we're so driven by the clock.
Yeah. It's so, so interesting to see that. And so I think like how, like coming back to America, like how do I adapt to this environment where time is so important, where I don't want to be so fixated on my time. Mm-hmm. Like obviously like there needs to be a schedule at a certain point. Like when I'm at school, like yeah, I have classes to go to, like, you know, I'm paying for those classes. And so like, it's important to go, but also like, how do I leave room for margin? And I think that's been a word that's been highlighted to me and of like margin. Like how do I leave time for there to be conversations like with my roommates, for example, or how do I leave time like for there to be those bump-ins with other people like as I'm walking back to my apartment or whatever, and just being more like relaxed about it. And I think that it's hard.
But it's good that you had this experience in another country where you're able to see like, okay, they're still functioning in the midst of like all the things that are going on. And, you know, sometimes they might have to say no to certain things to leave that margin, but the blessings of the things that are coming out of being present, right?
Yeah.
It's like you get to experience the Lord the whole time when you're present, as opposed to, oh, I got this short period because I was thinking my mind was over here during this time and my mind was over here during this time. And I only got to experience the Lord in this small section where it's like, okay, if I was fully present, then I get to experience him the whole time too.
Right. I think that's just so cool too. Like I feel more relaxed when I'm not rushing. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not rushing, like I can see like the way, like the little ways that the Lord shows up. And I think maybe like, especially now like being in summer, like not in school, it's like maybe a little bit easier to see that. Cause like when I'm in school, like, I'm locked in. Mm-hmm. Okay guys, like only thing I'm thinking about is school for the most part. But I think being outside of that space, it's like, oh, like, wow, like, thank you, God, for allowing me to be scheduled like an hour later for work this week, because now I get to sleep in and rest a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Or like, thank you, God, for this conversation that I had with so-and-so, because I think that it was a really big blessing and I was able to learn this and this about this person. And so I think just the lens of, I think when I'm relaxed, I can make better decisions and I can definitely be more present too.
Okay, I'm laughing because I have this conversation with, I'm not going to say which one of my kids, but one of my kids pretty regularly. It's the be quick, but don't be in a hurry, right? So it's like you can do things quickly, you can do things and you can do a lot of things, but when we're in a hurry, it's like, yeah, we don't make good decisions or just the way that we treat other people isn't the same because, you know, we're in a rush and we got to do it right now and things like that. But, you know, there's ways that we can still be efficient without having that rushed tension inside of us too.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's really cool that the Lord has been highlighting that to you, especially in light of this trip, and you're able to experience a different way. And, you know, sometimes we do get stuck in our own kind of bubbles, right? And it's like, okay, this is how life is. And it's good for us to get outside of that, to be able to see like, oh, there are other ways to live. There are other ways to experience the Lord. And I think it's cool for you too, that you were able to go to a country where there is some level of, you know, background spiritually, it's not like you're starting from scratch, but in some of those ways, you're able to experience the, you know, how other people experience the Lord too, because they do have some level of foundation there too.
Yeah. There's often times where we would just like, we were going to watch a soccer game and we were just going to project it.
That must have been crazy.
We were just going to project it at someone's house, but it didn't end up working out. And so what we did instead was we just sang and we just worshiped together. And there would just be like times where we would just do that. And I'm like, oh, like, that's just so cool. Like we just break out a song, you know, so randomly, and how that is like so implemented in their day to day. I think it's just so different compared to here where we are like, at least I feel like there needs to be a need to schedule a lot of things. But when there's just room, like, oh, like the Lord can really work within that. And I think that relates to the sense of openness. I think that the people that we encountered were just so willing and they're so curious to like learn about America and learn about English and learn about like our stories. And because of that, like there was just like wherever it just allowed the Lord to work in so many ways. Yeah, and I think that that's just like a mindset that I really wanted to walk into with Brazil was, okay, God, like obviously I know you can work, but I want to leave it up to you of how that will happen. And like, you know my why, you know, like I'm being type B, which is amazing because I'm normally very, very type A. But I was like, no, like I can relax. Like I'm not leading. Like I don't have to think about like all these other safety things or medical things or whatever. Like I can just be present with the people. And just to be able to like lock in on that and do it with other people. And I think it was also like the first time where I've been on a mission trip where I wasn't with Catalyst and I wasn't with Magnetic. Mm. And so I was like, wow, like this is different. Mm. Like I normally have like a go-to person, like, okay, let's go pray for someone. Okay, can you come with me? Or like, oh, like let's be partners in this group setting or whatever. But I think it pushed me to meet other people like within our group. Like I knew of these people, but like nothing like super, super deep. I was like, okay, like, let's do this together. Like, okay, like, now let me choose someone else to do something else with. So being uncomfortable is not bad. I think it's just, it's good. It's growing. It's challenging for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like how you were talking about, you know, being open and having having that space and that room to experience things in a new way. Or you know, I think a lot of times in the way that our culture values, like, knowing everything or, like, having, like, It's just a different way to look at things, right? And it's cool to hear some of the things that you learned and what your experience with the people that were open to you guys and how they were able to receive because they were open.
Yeah.
Where I think sometimes in our culture, it's so valued, like you have to know everything or you have that people aren't open to other opinions or other points of view or other things. And so they're not able to receive because they're not open because they're so full of what they believe or what they think. And so I think it's cool to see that when you create space or you allow that room that you can really be blessed and really receive from the Lord and from other people when you have that space. But it's how do we move from that value of, you know, filling everything up versus like, oh, no, I need to leave some space.
Mm. Yeah, excellent question. I think it's hard. I think it's hard like when your environment doesn't necessarily support that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like if my mindset is changing, how do I adjust when my environment isn't like that? Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, oh, like now I could be used in a different way to make an impact on other people just based on what I learned, based on what I experienced in Brazil. And just like continuing just to like be open and just like, okay, God, like to be obedient of like, Lord, what are you asking me to do? I think that's a question that someone asked me before. Or just like other things that were going on in my life. She was like, okay, like what is the Lord asking you to do now? And I think that sometimes it feels like select all out apply and that there's just too many options to like click all the checks, check boxes. Like this is too many, but really just like, okay, like it could really be simple and it can really be like, okay, God, like, are you asking me to pray for somebody? Okay, God, like, do you want me to ask this question to this person? Or, okay, God, like, what do you want me to read today? Different things like that of I think it really like starts with the inner work and just like allow the Lord to like soften your own heart. And I think that that will open the doors to a lot of things and your impact to other people. Because I think it starts with us first and then that impact will definitely grow.
Okay. So how do you feel like you've been able to, now that you've been back for a little bit over a month, right? So how do you feel like you've been able to apply some of these things in your life as you've transitioned back into your regular routine of living in Southern California?
Yeah, I think that this theme of like being mundane, like doing the mundane things and allowing that to be ministry. Of like when we were in Brazil, we painted nails, we did cornhole, we did all these different games. But like, I think that sometimes those things are overlooked of like, oh, like these are just so easy. Like, you know, like I could do these things every day. But really, it's like, yeah, but you could do those things every day and still make an impact on somebody else. And you could do these things every day, but do it with other people. And so just allowing like things that the Lord has already like instilled in me of like, okay, like I think that God has given me the gift of leadership. And so being able to use that and share all of my experiences with the girls at Bible study, for example. And just like my background of like, what do I know about the word? What do I know about like relationally and friendships and values and being able to share and go through life with them like that and like be like an older sister to them too. I think that's been big. And then also just like with time, like how do I slow down? Mm. And I think I'm going to eat my words. It's a little hard. I'm eating my words. And I think that I just love to be with the people and I mm-hmm. love to like do a lot. Yeah. But I think just like to slow down a little bit, like, okay, like let me take a step back. Like, do I need to leave more time? Like, will that extra like 45 minutes really help? Yeah, probably, girl. Like, let's slow this down a little bit. So just being more intentional with like checking in with myself of, okay, like you don't have to go all the time. Like, yes, there's a lot of people you want to see and a lot of things you want to do, but also like, how are you? Mm-hmm. And to be like, okay with that and to be okay with slowing down.
Yeah. I like how you use the word intentional
mm-hmm.
because I think that's something that gets lost a lot of times, right? It's like we get so busy that we're just doing. And then at some point we're like, oh, actually I'm not doing good myself.
Yeah.
But you know, for you to say, okay, I'm going to be more intentional about just checking in with myself. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important step because like I said, a lot of times we get to that point where it's like, I don't recognize that I'm not doing well until I'm like fully like ready
burnt
to,
out.
I'm ready to quit everything. Right. And so just to be, take that space and time to be, okay, I'm going to intentionally check in with myself regularly to see how I'm doing. Ask myself some of those hard questions, like, do I need to take a quick break? Do I need a little bit more time today? Mm-hmm. Do I need, how am I feeling? I think those are great questions to ask. And I think that in terms of longevity and sustainability, that's really important, right? Because I think sometimes we just go, and then it's like, oh, shoot, I am done for a long period of time because I'm just done, right?
Right.
And so I think the way that you're looking at it now, it's like, okay, I just need to be intentional, just check in. And sometimes I might need to say no to this, but it's going to allow me to say yes to these other things later.
Yeah. Saying no, it's okay. Yeah. I think saying no is hard, especially because there's just so many things that you could say yes to and so many opportunities. But I think that something that I feel encouraged by is that there will always be an opportunity. And it, just because you say no to one thing doesn't mean it's a bad thing and doesn't mean that there won't be something else that you could say yes to as well. So it's okay to say no. It's okay to say yes, but also like it's okay to say no, like if for the sake of your own like health and like for the sake of your own, like if you're not gonna be present, then it's like, oh, what's the point too? Yeah, because I think that it's easy just to say yes to all these things, to say you've all done all these things, but also it's like, okay, like if you're not like feeling your best or like being the most present, then it kind of like takes away from that experience of what it really could be.
Yeah. You're there, but you're not really there.
Right.
And then it's like, would that time actually have been more beneficial just to be at home resting rather than just kind of being physically there, but not really all there.
Yeah. It's hard.
No, for sure. Just the society and the culture that we're in, that is something that's really difficult because, you know, we are living in a society where it's like, go, you know? I know that Southern California people say that we're semi-relaxed, but we're not.
I don't think so.
We're not. We do like to, you know, fill our schedule with a lot of things and, it's good. It's good that you're learning these things when you're young. I know that it can be harder to learn later. So
for sure.
It's good that the Lord is highlighting these things to you now, especially with the influence and the impact that you're having with some of our other, you know, now you have this girls' Bible study that you're able to speak some of these things into and help them to, you know, have that foundation of being able to just to check in. You know, we're in a generation now where it's, you know, I've heard it's called the anxious generation, right? And so how much of that is just because we're overstimulated and we have too many things to do, too many things going on in our mind that are not helpful or beneficial, that maybe if we were able to take a little bit of a step back and slow down a little bit, that not to say that it will, but just to give ourselves space to even address some of those things and look into it and be more intentional about it. So I'm thankful that you're learning these things just because you know, you are in a place of influence now, and it's cool to see that you're able to, you know, for yourself, but then also for other people that you're leading.
I think that was something I appreciated a lot about being abroad and just being on a mission trip is that everyone knew that I probably wasn't going to be on my phone. And so just the ability and just to take advantage of the opportunity to be disconnected, to not be obsessed with social media, to not be like so fixated on responding back to people. Because I think that's another way that we are so fixated on time, was like, how quick am I receiving a response? How quick am I texting back to other people? But really it was like, no, like it can really like chill out for a little bit. You know, it's like not that big of a deal. People know where I'm at, or the people that need to know, they know. But if not, that's fine too. And just like, yeah, there's just like such like a secrecy when there's like things that are like kept under wraps. And I think about this too, of like even coming back from a mission trip, I think oftentimes like people will post about it. No hate to y'all. No hate to y'all if you guys post. But I think to me, I'm like, there's like something so special about keeping things about my relationship with the Lord, or like the encounters I had with these people, like in my heart, and just like so like near and dear to that. Like, I don't need to post to know like, oh, like this is like God worked. I'm like, no, like obviously I knew God was going to work, but it's just like, how was he going to do that? And just being coming back and seeing the house, like, oh, like that was so beautiful that like I want to share it with other people, but also like in my own heart, and keep it within my own heart too.
Yeah, I think that sometimes it's easy to put it out there and then forget, versus like, oh no, actually before I put it out there, I want to hold on to it. I want to remember, I want to reflect, I want to hold on to it to say that this is going to impact me in 5 years, 10 years, because I'm holding on to it so tightly, and because you're the one that experienced it.
Yeah, just to be able to like reflect on these experiences. And I think it has been helpful, like, coming back and debriefing, like, within my own team, but also, like, with people, like, from Catalyst and at school, too, of just, like, yeah, like, these are the things that we encountered, and these are the things that we experienced, and how do we take what we learned and, like, apply it practically, and how do we take what we learned and just, like, hold on to it, too?
Yeah, I think that's one of the unique and really cool things about going on a missions trip. It's, like, you're able to make an impact on the people that you're visiting and you're sharing the gospel with and you're leading, but then also the Lord in a really cool way blesses you in ways that you wouldn't have received if you just went through your normal regular day-to-day life.
Absolutely. I think that's why it's so cool, like just experiencing another culture and just like how important it is to be exposed to that. Because if like, especially like these kids that we're ministering to, like sometimes I forget that like I was the only Asian person on the team. But I was like, oh, because like I'm so like normally so surrounded by Asian people, but I was like, oh, like for the students, like it was such a culture shock for them. They totally knew I was Japanese, which I didn't realize that Brazil has like the top population of Japanese people. But I was like, oh my gosh, like for me too, I was like, this is culture shock for me. Like normally like it's the other way around. Like normally I'm not the minority, like in the settings, like a church, for example, or like even at school, like within my friends. And so just like, if they weren't exposed to like seeing me, for example, or like seeing other people in other cultures, then like they wouldn't know. And just like, yeah, just like to seek out these opportunities to learn and to have this growth mindset and to be open and willing.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the themes of Ephesians is the, the unity and diversity, right? And so it's a way that you're able to speak into these girls just in a direct way of something that you just recently experienced, you know, coming together as a team with people that you don't know, and you have to go on a trip together, and everyone's bringing different skills to the table and different things and different parts of their culture to the table, and this unique blend of a team. And, you know, the thing that really connects you is the Lord, right? And that's one of the themes of Ephesians, is just the unity in the Lord that we have together. Even though we're different backgrounds, different cultures, different skill sets, different personalities, but the thing that unites us is the Lord. And so it's cool to see that you were able to experience that in a very tangible way on this trip. But then also now that you're leading, it's like you have this experience that you're able to draw from, where you're able to speak that into the girls too.
It's so beautiful being used.
All right. So are there any stories or anything that you were like, oh yeah, that one was super impactful, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet?
I think that was the main, those are the main ones that were highlighted to me. Oh, actually, no, I do have one. I thought of one. There was one time, like we were at lunch break and we were in a neighboring city from Pyeongko, and that's what we primarily did our second week was that we spent time in neighboring cities, so three main ones. And we were just at a church, and then we walked over to this, like, lookout spot, and it was gorgeous. Like, it was super green. And there was, like, a piece of burnt trash in front of us. And so our leader, Leah, like, she actually went to South Africa the previous year on a mission trip with APU as well. And something that she pointed out was that she was so struck by the fact that in South Africa, they just burn their trash. And so you just see these little piles of smoke, like, wherever you went, like, just dispersed around. And she was like, oh, like, this reminds me of South Africa. And I had no idea why, like, the Lord really highlighted that to me last year. And it was really cool to see, like, how God redeemed that and, like, answered her questions, like, right in that moment. And she's like, yeah, like, this reminds me of Moses in the burning bush. And I was like, oh my gosh, light bulb, like, that's crazy. And just, like, she was, like, sharing about it. She's like, oh, like, in that verse, they talked about, like, the holy ground. And I was like, dang, girl, like, you know what's crazy is that Moses has been a character in the Bible that has been highlighted to me recently, where other people have, like, shared to me of, like, this theme of, like, identity and this theme of leadership and, like, feeling worthy. And so just being able to share that with her, I was like, well, like, I think I really question, like, God bringing up Moses to me. Like, it was, like, March time, I think, early in the semester. I was like, okay, God, like, why Moses? Like, what have we got to do with Moses? because it was really consistent of, like, okay, I had a professor point that out to me. I had someone on my discipleship team point this out to me. And I was like, okay, God, sure. Like, I'm rolling with it. Whatever you say. But then, like, in this moment in Brazil, I was like, whoa, like, I think that this word was not only for me, but I think it was also for her. And Leah was, or she just graduated. And so she, like, had to take her NCLEX exam, which is, like, the nursing exam for her licensing. Just, like, finishing out your senior year. Like, there's a lot of emotions going out of your senior year, a lot of, like, unknowns. And, like, she also, like, moved to APU, like, from Sacramento area. So just even that, like, is she going back home? Like, all these uncertainties, and just being able to use, like, what the Lord has spoken to me of, like, yeah, like, Moses' story talks a lot about identity and, like, there's leadership and, like, how he felt uncertain about these things. But, like, look at the mighty ways that Moses was still used. And I was like, oh, like, I think that touched me too. Like, this is so cool, like, how God can use, like, the words that he's spoken to me and, like, also use it to bless other people. So I think, like, that's just the way that I viewed, like, oh, like, this is holy ground, like, because of who we carry in our hearts, because the Holy Spirit is within us, like, this can be holy ground. And to really view that as, like, oh, like, we should walk with, like, some royalty, you know, like, not in, like, in such a humble way, but, like, walk with so much, like, authority and walk with, like, this proudness of, like, oh, like, I'm a daughter of the Lord Most High, of the King of Kings and the author and the creator, like, to really, like, walk in that empowerment of, like, this is part of my identity. And that is so, so, like, important and also just so, so, like, cool. Like, what a flex, you know?
Yeah. No, okay. I'm really glad that you remembered that story because it's like, oh, wow, that is an awesome story. And it's awesome to see the ways that the Lord, just the timing of the way that the Lord was using all these things in your life and kind of brought it all together. Because it would totally be different if it's like, okay, you heard Moses like 10 years ago, it like 5 years ago, and then you heard it. But just like the proximity of you and it being highlighted this year, especially, and the year that you're going on your trip, and just the ways that the Lord was speaking to you through that, and then the way that you're able to speak now into someone who's supposed to be your leader, and you're actually speaking into her too. Like, that's really cool. All right, well, okay, I told you I would ask you this one last question. So, you know, do you feel like there's anything, you know, really that you feel like the Lord has highlighted as a, you know, just like, this is the theme that I feel like the Lord has highlighted to me on this trip that I'm going to, like, be intentional about and be like, this is really what the Lord was impressing on me when I was there.
Yeah. I think really just, like, I heard of this acronym before from, like, my best friend's, my best friend's husband's mom. But the acronym is KISS, so, like, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
And so just to, like, really, like, not everything needs to be so, like, glamorized and, like, so dramatic. Like, really just, like, at its simplest core, you can paint someone's nails and, like, that's enough. And just being who you are, like, that is so good and that is enough. And so just like keeping this theme of also of like margin of like, yeah, leave enough time between things and you really like can be more present because of that. And that is so, so, so good. 'Cause I think you can miss so much if you're not present. And God is always speaking to us, but like, are we listening? Mm-hmm. And yeah, like ministry in the mundane, I think that was also like another theme too of along with the simplicity of things of, yeah, like God will use your gifts if you like step into it. And also if like you are willing to like be obedient in that. So yeah, I think just like be willing and be open and so general, but also like so true, like yeah. Be discerning of like who the Lord is and who the Lord has called you to be. And just relates a lot to unironically just talking about Moses, like about identity. Mm-hmm. And God made us to be so unique. And like, that's the best person that we can really be.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that, you know, you're calling out this, let's keep it simple. Because I think a lot of times, even in our culture, you know, it's like, oh, I need to hear something really profound from the Lord. I need to hear something, you know, like that nobody's ever heard before or that something super new. And it's like, no, sometimes the Lord's just saying something simple.
Yeah.
Like, I love you. Or like,
Yeah, really.
Just something simple and the impact that something simple can really make. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like, is it different when, you know, you're doing all these great things and you're going on a mission trip for the Lord to say, I love you? Or like, I'm just sitting here reading a book and I hear the Lord say, I love you. Like, I'm not doing anything in particular, mm-hmm. right? Like, just, but sometimes it's just in the simplicity. Mm-hmm. Those are the times where it can really be impactful because mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not earning this. I'm not doing right. something that can, you know, gain me XYZ, mm-hmm. but it's just really like, this is something that's just kind of mundane, like you said.
Yeah.
But the impact is because I'm really hearing from the Lord.
Yeah. And that's even better than anything else is that you're hearing from the Lord and that the Lord is speaking to you.
All right. Well, man, I feel so full right now. Just hearing, you know, and really just seeing how you've grown and matured. It's just really, it's been really a blessing to watch and to see where you're at and to hear your stories and things and just to see what the Lord's been teaching you. So just want to say thank you for coming on. Thanks for sharing all the stories and all the things that God's been doing. And, you know, just if you ever feel like you have other things that you want to share on the podcast, you know, this was really fun. So
Just
want to say you're always welcome to come back on and share what the Lord's been highlighting to you or things that you're learning in school, or you know, just even if it's just sharing about, you know, what's been going on that, you know, like girls' Bible study, things Just so you're always welcome.
Thank you.
Today was a lot of fun. Just thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
All right. Well, thanks to all of our listeners out there. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.